toward us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that early this morning we got new mercy, God, and we thank you for that. Oh, God, we thank you as the song is being sung. We know, God, you didn't bring us this far to leave, but you brought us through mountains and Father, valleys, all types of situations. But the word was read this morning that, God, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. We thank you that goodness and mercy has been following us all the days of our life. Thank you, Father, God, for just being gracious and kind to us. Thank you for help. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for strength. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being in our right minds on this morning. Thank you that nobody had to roll us over and give us oxygen this morning. Nobody had to roll us over and put our diaper on this morning. God, we thank you. Oh, God, we bless you for your goodness toward us. Thank you, Father, God, it's because of you that we live, move, and have our being. That's why we call us to say thank you. We shall not, we could find reasons to complain. We could find reasons, Father God, to find something wrong, Father God. But this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We praise you for all of who you are, what you mean to us. Now, God, we come before your intercessors. We pray for some of our family, God, our Bethsaida family, our extended family, our families, Father God, that are struggling right now, those who are dealing with COVID situations, those, Father God, who are dealing with pneumonia, those who are dealing with flu, all the situations that are around us in our communities, Father God. We lift those people to you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that you're still a healer. We thank you that you're still God and that you're still in control. We pray, God, you be near them today. We pray you be near them. We need your power, Father God, to just be near them today in a special way. We pray your healing virtue will flow through their bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, from the crown of their head, Lord, to the soles of their feet, we pray for the children, Father God, that have been affected this week, that are on quarantine, Father, that are not feeling well. We pray, Father, that your healing would go through them, would flow through them on today. We give you praise today on prayer. We bless your name because we know you can do it, and we trust you on today. Then, God, we thank you for those you've already shown us this week. You've already brought them through. You've already brought them out, and we thank you for that on today. Now we pray for complete wholeness and healing in their body. Pray for you strengthen them in a great and in a mighty way. Then, God, we pray, Father God, as a nation, as we come before you, God, we come before you, Father God, because your word says that your people who are called by my name will honor themselves and pray. So, God, we are coming and we are praying, and we're turning from our wicked ways so that you can heal this land. Because this land needs a healing, God. There's still a corruption, Father God. Things going on, injustice going on, things going on in the world. And we thank you, Father God, that you see all and you know all. And that you're in control. And God, you're going to do things. You're going to deal with those things that need to be addressed in this nation. But your word says, God, that blessed is the nation whose hope is the Lord. So you're our hope, God. Without you, there is no hope in this world. Without you, there is no hope for families. Without you, there's no hope for our communities, Father God, for our neighbors, for our churches. So we thank you that you are our hope. And we pray your time today, Father God, that you bless us in a great way. Strengthen us and keep us. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come. Bless our going in and our coming out this week. Bless our coming together today in a great way. We want to experience you today, God. We want to experience your power and your presence. Don't let our coming be in vain, but we pray, God, we have an encounter with you. Through prayers, God, through the songs, and through your preached word. Bless your man of God that's going to bring your word on today. God, our ears are open. Our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us on today. And we thank you, and we glorify you, and we declare out loud, God, that we dare not come into this place and not experience your presence. We dare not come into this place and not give you what's due your name, because you are worthy, 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 and you've been a good God to us, and we stop to say thank you. In Jesus' name, we glorify you and we praise you on today. Your word, you will say, God, that we lift you, that you will draw all men unto yourself. So we came by just to lift your name on today, God. And we pray that you
a wonderful God.
Thank you, Lord. You've been kind, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've been gracious, Lord. Thank you. You've been patient, Lord. Thank you. You've been long-suffering, Lord. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you. Thank you.
Exposed. times we saw we've really been shaped. I remember even as the 2021 closed and the Delta variant was kind of losing its hold, and the hospitalizations were going down, and everything seemed to be getting a little bit better. We was hoping that this day, because this day is usually the pastoral anniversary day. This is the pastoral anniversary day. We're looking forward to gathering with our friends that come in and help us celebrate from Believers Hope in Dallas and having that joyous time. Pastor been here 38 years now, and we're going to celebrate that today. Hopefully you still celebrate even though when our friends come in, but I really celebrate because I know it wasn't me, but the great people that God put around me and in this church that allow this church to do magnificent things in the community. So that's really why I like to celebrate, so I can give the other people the credit and take some of the shine, this spotlight off of me, put it on other people who have assisted, who God are using in a mighty way. But because the virus is still here, it's still here. The coronavirus, the pandemic, and other things that we are faced with in our present time seem like the division that came to a point last year on January 6th is still hearing about it. And yeah, it's still in the news, especially this week. Those things are still here. We're still hearing about voter suppression and things that we dealt with this years ago, back in the 50s and in the 60s, and we finally got a chance to vote in the spirit. So we're dealing with the pandemic and division and polarization and our nation and all the things going on. And then they say, you know, we need a paper mask, and then with the cloth mask. I say cloth mask not good. You need the N95 mask. And all these things are going on. And it comes to a point where you just say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm just tired of the whole thing. I'm just over it.
Yeah, I'm over
you ever said that?
Yeah, recently.
I'm just over it.
Yeah,
okay. And what I want to tell you today, and we're breaking from our series, but what I want to tell you today is this year, I want to call it the year of being over. That's what I'm preaching about. The year of being over it.
All right.
Because I'm hoping that in this year, there are a lot of things you come to the point and you'll just say, I'm over it.
That's quite a bit.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Listen. What does it mean, Pastor? What does it mean to be when you say I'm over it? It can mean that I feel better about it. God has allowed me to feel a little bit better about the situation. It means I move on from it. I come to terms with it. I'm fed up with it, and I'm not willing to put up with it any longer. Or I'm starting to feel happy or well again. I'm over it. Can mean all those things. But when you think of being over it, when you think of over and under in form of authority and dominion, when something is over you, it means that man has control of you, has authority and dominion over you, and you are subject to it. So, if we're under some things, maybe it's the pain that we're having to deal with. Maybe it's problems. Maybe it's our predicament. Maybe it's persons or even a pandemic. Maybe it's even principalities in power. And if we are under that chain, it says that thing has control of us. That thing has victory over us. That thing has, amen, the power We have power. We have the ability to live with those things and still yet have victory, because they don't determine how we live our lives. I want to say now, I've been dealing with this thing 2 years. Now I'm over it. It's not going to control my life. Yes, I'm going to take some things to help me through it. But yet it won't control me till it takes away my feeling of well-being and moving forward. I can't be on pause no more. I have to move forward. I've been on pause too long. Now, it used to be over me, but now I'm over it.
All right.
This is the year to be over. This is the year to have time to feel bad about this thing. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to live for God anyhow. This is the year to say I'm over it.
Amen.
Let me see how we're going to get to this point. I need to give you some particulars, some things to help us to get over all our circumstances and situations, and not live under our circumstances and situations. Pastor Rick Warren, as I was studying, I had, Lord, I always put different things in the spirit. This week we were talking about being tired and overwhelmed. And I found this when I was doing my research and studying for this sermon. Rick Warren says that what we need to do is move away from an overwhelmed life to an overflowing life.
Amen.
Oh, did you hear that? That's powerful. Most of this sermon is about that idea. I took his idea and I baptized. Amen. It made it for us. And it's moving from being overwhelmed. Sometimes being overwhelmed will keep you from being overflowing.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes. I'm going to try not to preach too long, because I know as long as I can't wear a mask to preach, there's respiratory droplets and whatever they call them. So I'm going to just preach long before you get the point. Amen. And just pray for me. We'll try to get some. Since we can't ventilate like we used to, we try to do some other things and get some other things to clean the air at the service is going on. Similar to the one I got up here, but we'll get maybe some bigger ones hopefully next week before we come together again. All right, let me get into this. The first thing is we're going to move from being overwhelmed to being overflowing. If we want to move away from an overwhelmed life to an overflowing life, the first thing we have to move from Weary Road to Word Avenue.
All right.
I don't miss that. We're going to move from Weary Road to Word Avenue.
All right.
You need to get into the Word. That's how we connect to God, by being in God's Word. So, but most of the time, especially when you're overwhelmed by something, the reason why you're overwhelmed by it, because you're living on Weary Road. When you think about meditating, we got to stop meditating in the idea of worry, and we got to meditate on the Word of God. He said, well, Pastor, what is meditating? Meditating is just turning ideas and thoughts over in your mind over and over again, like a cow who's chewing, amen, on a cob. It's meditate on the problems. You get God's word, and as you read God's word, you can meditate on the promises.
Amen. Amen.
Don't spend your day. If you want to be overwhelmed, let's spend your day meditating on the problems.
It's true. It's true.
But if you want to be overflowing, spend your day meditating on the promises.
Amen.
What God has said he's going to do for you. How God has said he's going to move in your life. How God is saying that you're going to have a victory. That he's going to work everything together for your good.
Yeah.
That he's going to be with you always.
Yeah.
That whatever you're going through, he loves you. And he's not everything. All of his actions towards you are loving. When you meditate on God and God's goodness, you're able to move from worrying to his word. And pretty soon, if you stay long enough in his word, it's going to be worship. And it's going to move you to a point where the word is in you and you see somebody else and say, the way life should work is when you come up in a difficult life, if you come up like I came up in the hood in a difficult area, in an area of poverty and lack and scarcity, when God allows you to move up to a better neighborhood, don't forget where you come from. You got to take it back. Now you got, since he done blessed you to be there, you got to take what you have and share it. I say, amen. If you have, amen, your mission as a have, what God has blessed you to have, is to take, to go to the have-nots and turn the have-nots into haves.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As we keep doing that, pretty soon everybody's going to be a have. So what I'm saying, when you move from worry to the word, and the word blesses you to overflowing, then you see somebody else back on worry, and you're able to go with them and overflow with the principles and power and promises of God's word,
and help
them come to a better place. Because you overflow.
Yeah.
once a year. We all know about that woman at the well, came to the well, and Jesus met her at the well, and she came with her water pot. At noonday, now at one time, you know, like someone said, at noonday, now when you come and get water, you come early in the morning when it's cool, or late in the evening. But she came at noonday when it's the hottest time, because she know when she come and other folk are there, how other folk treat her, how other folk talk about her, because she's not got a new little water pot, but she needed water. She needed some water. Amen. Because she was thirsty. And even though that she needed physical water, she also needed spiritual water. Because not only was she physically thirsty, she was emotionally and spiritually thirsty. But she met Jesus at the way. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Jesus that I serve, he's able to fill you up. And you can tell he filled her up because she came early with a water pot. But when you read that passage in John 4, she left her water pot. And when they told her, I'm talking about the old folk. See, she came, she was overwhelmed. She stepped out of that and admitted because she was overwhelmed by her reputation in the community and what people were saying about her in absence of a real connection with God and a real worship. So, as Jesus had explained to her, worship is not a place. Worship is a person, and worship is me. And you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. And once she realized who Jesus was, she had no tell everybody. She moved from being overwhelmed to being overflowing. Oh, this is your year. This is our year, Bethsaida. To move from being overwhelmed to being overflowing. Don't say that. We will have another year to waste. We will have another month to waste. We will have another week to waste. You got to say, before you leave here today, this is my year. I'm no longer going to be under it. I'm going to be over it. She went to everybody. Come see me. I know I'm a woman. And y'all don't need a woman to be a witness in the court. But I can't be a witness in the court. But I can be a witness all over the county. And I can tell you I can be a witness all over the community. And tell you, you may not believe what I'm going to say. So just come and see him for yourself. Come see him. She also is in her community.
Yeah.
either move from where it should be to where it should be. Well, let me move on to my next one. Because I got to cut the stage shut. It's too good to cut short, but we're going to do what we can. You better, secondly, you better move from griping dry to gratitude street.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? Move from griping dry to gratitude street. Stop griping. Give thanks unto the Lord. thank you for giving you the ability to have an overflow life. Now, somebody here, you thank you, God, just wait a minute. Wait a minute, what I got to thank God for? Because they hear you thank God, they have to thank. You're not the only person he's done something for. He done done something for me, too.
Emmett Till
thing. something to thank God. So stop griping and complaining and just start thanking God. Amen. When this sermon is over, amen. I want Maxine to say this song with grace. Because we all here. We all got something to be grateful for. Oh, amen. If I was out on the street, sleeping on the street, I'd still have something to be grateful for because he saved me. My soul is saved. My life is saved. You always got something to be grateful for.
Always, Richard, always.
So move right, Boulevard. Come on over to Grateful Street.
Yes, sir.
Lastly, finally, you got to move from scarcity village. Move from scarcity village to surplus estates. Move from scarcity village to surplus estates.
All right.
And that was a hard move. That's a hard move for me to make. Sometimes I have feet in both places. I still got a little feet. I still got a little scarcity village because I come out of scarcity village. I come out of a place where there was never enough. Come out of a place where I was wanting and needing and thirsty. Amen. For a lot of different things. But now that the Lord has blessed me, amen, and I'm living in surplus estates.
Right there.
Show what I'm saying. This is the major point. Look at that first verse. When he talks about Elisha, this the spirit having Elisha in that first 2 Kings 42 to 44, they didn't have anything to eat. So, it came out that they bought the man of God, they bought Elisha bread, fresh fruits, 20 loaves of barley, fresh ears of grain, in the sack. He said, give them to the people. Elisha, okay, all right, you bring all this stuff. Give it to the people because we had about 100 people, and the people were hungry. But now, it's called Elisha was living in where? Surplus estate. But now he served. Verse 42, he's attending on his servant. What will I set before 100 men? He said, everything, wait, we ain't got enough.
We ain't got enough.
We trust you. What we gonna do? We ain't got enough for all these people.
Right.
He was living, amen, back in scarcity village. The key to why do we live in scarcity village? When we live, the reason why we live in scarcity village is because we look at our limits.
Amen.
We live in our limits. We're limited.
Right, sure.
But the way you want to live, when you move, amen, to surplus estate, is you're not looking at our limit, but God limitlessness.
Right, sure.
God don't have no limits. And he invites the people, said, I'll come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said, what I just read, Psalm 1. He'll give me everything we need. Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. But not only will he give me everything I need, but here, in the face of the enemy, when my enemy wants me to fail and starve to death, he said he'll run my cup over and give me more than I need. And I said, yeah, go ahead and feed the 100. Because the Lord has already told me, amen, that he got more from where that come from.
Yeah.
It's going to be enough. Enough. You ought to be like that little boy with that sandwich who was out there with Jesus trying to find a way to feed 5,000. He got a little old lunch. Amen. His little biscuits and little fish. And he said, well, 5,000 people. But even though he had enough sin, the little boy had enough sin that even though he just had 5 biscuits and 2 fish, he said, go ahead and get it to Jesus. Because I'm not going to, I want to play a part in this. I know I ain't that much, but if I give it to Jesus, I can move from scarcity to riches. Amen. The make comparisons. We look at somebody else, what they got.
It's true.
And then we look at one another. Oh, look at their car. Look at my car. Look at their clothes. Look at my clothes. Look at how they live. Look at how they live. Especially now that we got social media, you look at everybody living large. Wow, why ain't that? So you feel like you're living in a place of scarcity. Because you're making comparisons. But what the Lord said, rather than living in that place of scarcity and comparison, you need to live where you content.
Okay.
Say, Lord, and what Paul said, I've been hungry,
yes,
and I've been full. I've been clothed, and I've been naked.
Yeah.
give his life for us. You know how it was on those last 2 or 3 days on earth. You know how they talked about our Lord. You know how they treated our Lord. You know how they abused our Lord. You know how they just taunted with horrible treatment. But the reason why the Bible says he never said a murmuring word. Why? Because he wasn't under it. He was over it. Oh, I was a happy witness of it. And then when they marched him up, brother doctor, amen, and hung him on the cross, and they said, Lord, won't you come down? And he probably said the same, brother, won't you come down and save yourself? But he would not come down because he was over it and not under it. Oh, I was a happy witness here. The reason why he was able to follow the guilt, for they know not what they do, because he was over it and not under it.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. done so many amazing things in my life.
Oh God, oh God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.